Right. Yes, I'm alive. I have a microphone. Thank you for making the trek all the way down to this room. I know it was kind of hard to find. And welcome to today's session, which is What's New with Document Retention in SharePoint and OneDrive for Business. That's a very long title for a session that basically is talking about the new retention policies. So who went to the party last night? Yay! All right, now I know a few people said it was a really long way away, but who had a really good time? Woo! Cool! All right, because I needed you to have a good time for me because I couldn't go because I was preparing for this presentation, all that sort of stuff. So, how many people came to my compliance overview session yesterday? Not too many of you. That's not so bad. We have a, at least the rest of you won't be worried about. There are a few duplicate slides, not many. They're only needed to kind of set the stage and put the retention policies in context for the rest of compliance. So you won't be completely bored if you've seen it before. So for those of you that don't know me, my name is Astrid McLean. I'm going to try and use both sides of the stage today because someone complained that I favoured the left-hand side last time. I have been with Microsoft for about 13 years. This accent is not particularly American, as you may have worked out. So I worked in Microsoft Australia in Microsoft Consulting for about 7 years. So I was actually deploying Exchange and SharePoint and all of that good stuff. So I remember what customers are like. I did a stint in technical marketing for a little while. But now I'm a program manager in what we call the Information Protection Division. So it's a new division we set up in Microsoft specifically to look at compliance features across the Office 365 suite and across the Office servers. So that's our entire focus. And so our broader team looks at everything from auditing to retention to preservation to e-discovery to DLP and to some of the online services like Exchange Online Protection. So that's what we look after. The new feature I'll be talking about in this session, it will be coming to SharePoint Online first, but that's only because of our deployment cadence. A new feature's already come out, always come out in Office 365 first because that's the easiest place to deployment to deploy them. The feature will come out in the next version of SharePoint, which they've already said will come out in 2015. I will talk about some existing stuff, some of the preservation features that are currently in SharePoint 2013, the on-premises version today. So I will point out where things are new and when they're coming. So let's get started. Okay, how many people agree with this slide? Information is going through the roof. And if you don't agree with it, you should. So there are a lot of statistics out there that says information will grow 44 times over the next decade. Unfortunately, the little people at the bottom that are measuring them or that are managing that data, they're your administrators. They'll probably grow by about 1.4. So that's a lot of data and a lot of people to look after it. And where's that data going to live? It lives everywhere from file shares to email to SharePoint. But a lot of that data in SharePoint is not only going to live in places like the Record Center, it's not only going to live in the team sites, a lot of it is going to live in OneDrive for Business. Because as Office is more and more connected to SharePoint and the OneDrive for Business, it's a really easy place to store data, it's a really easy place to sync data, and rather than using file shares, you're going to see a lot more data in OneDrive for Business. So that's one of the things I want to talk to you today about, is how our features work across SharePoint, including the OneDrive for Business stuff, because it really is just a part of SharePoint, and how those policies work across there. All right, but let's start off with our vision slide. Love touch screens. All right, so traditionally the way compliance is done across data is people will take data from Exchange and SharePoint, they'll go put it in a compliance archive, and then they'll apply some wonderful compliance features across it. And that has a number of inherent problems. You end up having to store the data twice. You end up having to manage the data twice. You end up having to put add-ons on people's client machines so that they can access both the data they're working on live and the stuff that's archived or being managed somewhere else. All of those things are painful from the business point of view, and they're painful from a user point of view. So this is the Microsoft vision for how we'd like to see compliance features work. So the first thing we want to do is empower the user. So from an end user point of view, they should be able to do what they do best, do their work without having things stop them from what they need to do. At the same time, we want to help them comply with the policies that you've got. And those policies could come from legal requirements, they could come from regulatory requirements, they could come from a number of different places. But most users want to do the right thing. The problem is they don't know what the right thing is. So how many of you know exactly where your organisation's policies are stored and understand them all? All right. And most of the people that put up their hands, are you the ones that wrote them? Yeah. Yeah. So that's what happens. So that's kind of one of the challenges we have with compliance features, is most people want to do the right thing, but they don't know what the right thing is. So giving them the tools to do what they need to do, remind them about doing the right thing, and also letting them do their job is one of the key tenets of what we want to have for our compliance features. And I'll show you some examples of that. We want to enable the compliance officer. So for large organisations, they'll have an IT department, they'll have a compliance officer, and they'll have a legal department, they'll have a bunch of other people that need to do compliance features. For smaller organisations, the compliance officer is the IT person. So this is all about the role, not necessarily the person. But when it is a separate person, you don't want the compliance officer having to go to the IT department every time they need to set a policy, every time they need to find data. We want to give them the tools to do what they need to do, and we want to make that something you can delegate to them. And so in the keynote demos on Monday, one of the things that Michal showed was the Compliance Centre. And I'll show that to you again today as a launching point for some of the new policy management we have. And it's a way of, it's a start of bringing together all those tools together for the compliance officer so they don't have to bother IT every time they want to do something. And we want to make it easy for IT. I talked about not having things stored in two places, not having things managed in two places. So make it easy for the IT department to manage, lower the cost, and therefore it's good for business. And you can get on and do all the other important things instead of helping the compliance officers do what they need to do all the time. But underlying all of that, how do we achieve all of that? Our compliance features need to be in place. And that means the data itself needs to stay where it lives. So Exchange data needs to stay in Exchange. SharePoint data needs to stay in SharePoint. And what that means is the data is always up to date. It's always got full fidelity, so it's in context. If I need to preserve data, I want to keep it in context. I don't want to move it somewhere else where we're going to lose, you know, kind of the context around it and have to manage it somewhere else. It's also about building the compliance tools into the product itself rather than having some kind of separate thing, so you're only having to manage one thing. So they're the general tenets we have across all of our compliance features, and I'll talk about how they fit into our retention features as well. I have to use my clicker. No, it's not going to work. No, let's try the clicker. Ooh, magic slide. All right, what is retention? Retention means a lot of things to a lot of people, but I'm kind of going to define it as three things: deleting things, discovering things, and preserving things. The discover one is a little bit of a misnomer in the middle, but people really do want to know what happened to their data. But when I talk about retention, we talk about how long do I need to keep a piece of data before I delete it. And so when you talk to people about retention, some people are thinking about deleting data, some people are talking about keeping data, and some people are trying to kind of combine the two. So I'm going to split these up and talk about retention in two different ways. I'm going to talk about the policies that help you delete your data. I'm going to talk about the policies that help you preserve your data. And I'm going to throw discovery in the middle because we can't have a compliance session without talking about discovery. So we're just going to throw that in the middle and show you how you can find the data that you're looking for as well. And the quote or the statement I've put up there, it says, good deletion, preservation, and legal hold policy management goes beyond email content. That's something that, you know, I've paraphrased from one of our favorite analysts. Most people look at their data in email and say, hey, that's personalized data. I'm happy to put these really blanket retention policies or deletion policies across that, because if I delete email data, it's not the end of the world. But when I make that same statement for SharePoint documents, people go, no, don't delete my SharePoint documents. They're all important. But the reality is that all of these compliance features that people often start with using in email, they need to extend across all of your data sources, not just the ones that are kind of easy and people don't get so stressed about deleting. And the last one is really a point about deletion itself. It is about managing storage and it is about managing risk. Now, you won't hear me talk about the storage one too much. You heard today that, or you heard during the week, that SharePoint Online has extended the size of the site collections to a terabyte. They've extended the size of tenants to effectively infinite. They told me it was going to be one petabyte, but apparently they've gotten more enthusiastic since I last spoke to them. So I'm not going to talk about a lot about managing the storage aspect, because deletion policy should really be about managing the risk of your data. What do I mean by that? So I was talking to one of our technical writers. One of their first jobs was as a legal assistant back in the day where they're helping one of the tobacco companies. They get sued, bad things have happened. They go into a room and say, hey, we've got to find all the data that, you know, pertains to things you've said about tobacco usage. And they go to a storeroom where there are just acres of paper, because this was before electronic storage. And there's papers back there from the 40s that say things that, quite frankly, they wished they wouldn't exist, but they did. And so there is always a risk to your organisation that you're keeping too much data. Keeping everything isn't necessarily a good thing. So apart from the legal risk, you also have the risk of having just out-of-date information in your organisation. So it's one of the things that drives people to implement these deletion policies. And of course, the storage aspect is kind of a nice side effect as well. Let's get some of the data out of your on-premises and make that storage a little bit easier to manage. All right, but we've already got a bunch of features in SharePoint, right, to do a bunch of things. So I'm going to talk about data a little bit differently. The core important controlled business data, the stuff that really needs to have records management around it, we've got a great record center around it. We've got a great story around in-place records. You have a bunch of team sites. Now, many of these have structured data in them. So, for example, the team sites that I store my specifications for these features, it's what we call a spec library. We have content types. Every time I check something in, it forces me to, you know, say, hey, this is the type it is, has some control around it. So we've got content type policies, and we've got in-place records to manage that. We have project sites. Now, this is where the documents tend to live for as long as the project does. So when the project finishes, the site shuts down, all of the documents within that project site tend to want to expire at the same time because they only live for the life of the project. And in the last release of SharePoint, we implemented site policies, which is a site lifecycle policy. You can shut down an entire site after a period of time. But then there's all this other stuff. There are personal sites. So this is your OneDrive for business. There are team sites out there that are purely for collaboration. What do you do with those? Now, there are some organisations that are disciplined enough to set up the content types and the policies and the records management across all of that. And that's great. We're not trying to stop you from doing that. But there is a large percentage of organisations and data that sit in that unstructured space where they haven't done the information management. That data's out there. You can't do anything about it, but you still need to manage the risk. You still need to decide what you want to do with that data. And for that data that's not that structured, hey, I'm going to associate a content type with it, we're introducing a new feature, document deletion policies. And so this presentation is, well, the first half of this presentation talks about these document deletion policies, how they fit in, how they work, how they interact with the content type policies, and it gives you an easy way to manage those personal sites, or those OneDrive for business sites, and those unstructured team sites. So this isn't necessarily going to be a policy you apply to everything in SharePoint. For some organisations, it will be. It will be. For those organisations that are very structured, you're never going to use them. But for those that have data that falls into that category that needs a broad brush approach to say, I want to delete this data after a period of time, these are the policies that will work. Well, these are the policies that we'll hope will work, and we want some feedback on it. All right, so let's look at what we have pre-existing retention policies. So how many people went to the awesome records management session yesterday? For those that didn't go to the awesome records management session yesterday, you should watch the recording because it's all about managing very large records. So the record center I'm not going to specifically talk about, but we do have a very strong records management story in SharePoint. It's been there for the last two releases. The program manager that designed a lot of it is sitting in the middle here. So there's a lot of good stuff that's happening there. We do have content type policies, and they're kind of little sister, little brother, the individual list library policies where you can set very similar policies on an individual list. Now, these things are categorised by having multiple stages. They incorporate records management. They incorporate workflow. And I'll look at them in just a minute. And then we have the site policies. How many people are using site policies today? How many people know what site policies are? All right. So a few people know what they are and are using them. A few people are looking at me going, what the heck are they? So site policies we introduced in SharePoint 2013, and it's about shutting down an entire site. So typically it does get used for things like project sites or team sites for a team that will finish at a certain period of time, and everything gets shut down, the site, the documents, all at the same time. All right. So these content type policies, I wanted to throw this up there to remind people of the awesome power of the content type policies, and then I'll compare it to what we're about to deliver. So you can specify things like, I can trigger it off the last modified date, I can trigger it off the created date, I can also do different things about when something was declared a record, I can set a custom retention formula, and then I can do a bunch of actions. I can move it to the recycle bin, I can delete it, I can transfer it somewhere, I can start a workflow, I can declare a record, I can delete previous drafts, I can delete previous versions. There's a lot of power in these, and it works really well for when you know what your workflow is around a document. But for those people that say, I've got all this unstructured document, I don't want to have a disposition workflow for every document that gets deleted for OneDrive for Business, because as soon as you say someone has to approve that, everyone will go, that's too hard, there's too many documents. So if you want something that doesn't have all of that power and is for unstructured documents, welcome to document deletion policies. So it's all about reducing your risk by deleting data. It is solely focused on OneDrive for Business and team sites. So it's not to say you can't use it for anything else. We don't actually restrict this, but this is where it's targeted, so you know what it is that we're building this for. And it absolutely doesn't replace the existing records management or content type policies, okay? This is a new thing that's in addition to that, that is focused at those very unstructured data types. So I don't want anyone coming up afterwards and saying, really, I've got to throw out all my content type policies? No, you don't. But this is for the stuff that you either haven't defined or is just very unstructured data that you want a very simple policy to apply. All right, so we're all good so far? Yes? All right. So what are these document deletion policies? And I promise I will show them to you before we get to the end. So my plan is to do some brief explanation about what they are, show them to you, and then kind of do some more detailed explanation about how they work, so you don't go to sleep in the middle, because that's never a good thing. So they are centrally managed. These are not managed per site collection as per most of the things in SharePoint. These are managed in a single location. You have a single repository for all of your document deletion policies. For the online version across the tenant, for the on-premises version, we're looking for some feedback. At this point, we're thinking it's across the farm. If you need it to be multi-farm, give us some feedback about how you'd like to see these things managed from an on-premises version. But from the online, it's per tenant. They are very easy to define. Oh, and we give you some sample ones just to get you started. But each policy contains one or more delete rules. That's nice. What the heck is a delete rule? That's what a delete rule looks like. So I have a delete action, and I have a whole two delete actions. So you saw the content type policies, which had a number of actions. I can define exactly one of two. I can send it to the recycle bin, or I can permanently delete them. For those of you that have been using SharePoint for a while, they should be very familiar. They are exactly the actions you can take today in SharePoint on a document or in an item. We only calculate it from two fields. So either it's from the date the document was created or the date the document was last modified. So we don't have the custom trigger dates. That does tend to be a thing that's focused mainly on records management and workflow. And you can decide when you want to delete it. So I can create something that says delete 5 years from the created date. So it should be fairly simple to understand. All right, I've created my policies. What do I do with them? You assign them. So my compliance officer or my IT person has created a policy, and I can assign them to a site collection template. Gosh, a template that looks like a MySite template, which will apply to all your OneDrive for Business. So the challenge we have today with a lot of the policies that are site collection based or site collection managed is there's no way to broadly deploy them to these site collections that haven't been created yet. And that's especially true for the site collections that OneDrive for Business lives in, because they get created as you need them. As a user goes and clicks on that button, that's when we create the site collection. So they don't exist. So by assigning a policy to a site collection template, like the My Site template, what it does is actually not a lot at the time. It doesn't go and modify the template in any way. It doesn't go and put something that says, hey, if you're an existing person, I'm not going to touch you. We just have a record that says, this policy is attached to this template. Then at the time our expiration timer job runs, which runs once a day, it goes through all the site collections and says, hey, is there a policy attached to the template that you made from? Great, I'll use that. So every time you assign a policy to a site collection template, it applies to every site collection that uses that template, existing or new. So that's why you can define these policies to a very broad set of site collections within SharePoint. But we also give the ability to assign a policy to an individual site collection. There may be a site collection where you just want to give policies to one particular site collection. You may also want to use this to either test or override policies that you would normally set at a site collection template. Because the way that logic works is if I have a policy assignment for an individual site collection, it overrides the template one. So I can say have something assigned to the My Site template, but I want something different for my site, fine. I assign something to my individual site collection, which is my site. So that gives you a way to either test before you do things, or it gives you a way to override to do something different for an individual site collection. And you can also set things to say a policy can be a default policy or not. Default policies will apply. It's fairly obvious. We can also set policies as mandatory. And let me explain what site owners can do, and then I'll explain what the mandatory means. Maybe the next one? Yes. We give site owners control. Remember I told you we want to empower the end user? The site owner is the one that understands what the data in their site actually contains. So as an administrator, I can say, here are the policies of the rules that apply to you, but unless I mark it as mandatory, I give you the option of saying, I'm going to pick from one of the rules you've given me, if you've given me more than one, or I'm going to give you the ability to opt out. An opt out says, hey, I don't want anything deleted. Now, it's up to the administrator to decide whether they want to do that, but it's all about deciding whether you want to give the end users control or not. So mark it as mandatory, they can't do anything. Don't mark it as mandatory, and they can pick any of the policies you've got, or they can opt out of them altogether. So it's about making sure that it's a controlled environment, but you're giving the users the control over the data they know and love. What do you think? I've done enough talking. Time to show you something? Come on. Yes? No? Come on, I can skip the demo if you like. And the system come back up. Okie dokie. So, for those of you that have... Who has not seen the Compliance Center before? Welcome to the Compliance Center. Dun, 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 dun. So, you must have been asleep during the keynote. Is that true? All right, so this was the Compliance Center that we actually showed during the keynote. It's a new management center that allows us to bring together all of the compliance tools across Office 365. Similar to the document deletion policies, this will be released into Office 365 in the next few months. We will find a way of figuring out how to bring this on-premises for the next version of the server products. So if you ask me questions like, what's it going to look like? What's the server architecture? I'm going to say we are working on it. So we don't have an answer for that yet, but there will be a solution. So this brings together all of the compliance policies. Because so many people haven't seen you, I'm going to give you a very quick tour. Data loss prevention. So the first version of this, a lot of it is links to existing functionality, and what we're doing is starting to bring that functionality actually into the compliance center itself, so that's where the policies are managed. So the data loss prevention policies are things that are primarily exchanged today. Skip over archiving because I'm coming back to that. Auditing, you can see the exchange auditing reports. You can see all of your site collections in SharePoint. And I can do things like, hey, I'm going to go here and go directly to my audit settings, so I can see all of the audit settings. So it's bringing that stuff to the front, so it's very easy to access. From an e-discovery point of view, we brought in e-discovery into SharePoint into the last version. It was kind of hard to find the template you needed to create, and then you had to give the URL to the compliance officers when they now had to use it. Now they can go to the compliance center, they can go directly to the e-discovery center, they can go directly to the cases they've created and launch them directly from there. And from an encryption point of view, similar to what we saw with the auditing settings, it comes up eventually, it's a test system, bear with it, haven't clicked on it today, still thinking about it, still waking up, had fun at the party, yay! Turn up eventually. It will give you a list of your document libraries, which you will be able to search and filter and do all of that good stuff on. And you can click on them and say, hey, here are my encryption settings. Have a look at that one. Here are the encryption settings for a particular library, and it brings it up and makes it very easy rather than having to go into site settings. So that's Compliance Center. And this is the place that I'm going to launch my document deletion policies from. So under archiving, because we consider archiving to be archiving, deletion, and hold, or preservation. And so here under delete, this option, you now see from the back of the room, it says manage my deletion policies for sites. What that actually does today is it launches me into my document deletion policy center. So you don't have to create anything. This will auto-create the center for you. And this is where you manage all of your deletion policies. So let's have a look at what one of those looks like. So I did mention we provide some sample ones. So when you first start this up, we actually give you two sample policies, just as a, hey, everybody hates starting with a blank piece of paper. So we don't assign them anywhere, but we do give you two policies. One's a My Site policy, one is a document policy, just to give you some kind of ready-made rules that you can use, modify, do whatever you like with. So I'll open the document, sample document policy. And you can see my policy has, as all policies have, has a name, has a description. Great. The important things are the rules for the policy. So a policy can have one or more delete rules. When I create a new delete rule, oops, there we go. As I promised, it's very simple to create a delete rule. You give it a name. You decide whether this rule is going to delete things permanently or delete it to the recycle bin. The dates you can pick, it's last modified date or created date. There you go, proof that they're really there. And you can set a period of time, and you can decide whether it's a default rule. How easy can that be? So it's very easy to create my policies. And in this case, I happen to have created three rules of varying time periods. I've said, hey, in my organisation, there's only three delete policies you can have. You either delete it after 5 years, after 3 years, or after 1 year. That's it. That's all you're allowed to do. And the default for my organisation, Contoso likes to keep things for a little while, but not too long, is you can keep things for 5 years past the last modified date, and because I'm a benevolent administrator, I will send it to the recycle bin rather than permanently delete it, just in case you get really frightened you've lost it. So that's my set of policies. Now, what do I do with them? I can assign them. As I promised, you create them, then you assign them. I have to click on that again. Oh, no, it's thinking about it. Oh, the demo gods have been good to me. So assign a policy to a template, here's my list. Option one, I choose a template. Now, for those of you that have created a site collection ever, that will look like a very similar, familiar control to you. It's the list of templates you have in SharePoint. You can pick any of them. You can only pick them once. Once I assign something to a template, I assigned it to the template. If I want to modify it, I go back. I don't do a second assignment because that would get very confusing. Which one would I use? So I can only assign one set of policies per template, but I can assign as many as I like. And then down the bottom, there's my magic one. It says assign it to the My Site template. That is where you assign a template that will work with your OneDrive for business sites, because that's the template that they use to create the site. So it's as simple as saying, oops, it's a problem with Zoom, it doesn't let me actually do anything. I pick a template, and I assign policies to it. problem with this feature, it's kind of easy to use, so you know, the demo is not as complex as you might imagine. So for this one, I'm going to say, hey, I'm going to use my general business documents one. And I'm going to save that. That's my default policy, and I'm going to mark it as mandatory. Because for my OneDrive for Business, all I want is for them to do the general business documents. That's probably kind of a funky example because they have more than one rule. Normally, if I make it mandatory, I'd only give it one rule, so I don't give them any choice. But I give them a policy, and I can save it, and off it goes, and the next time my timer job runs, every my site in my organization will pick up those policies. They don't have to do anything. If I want to override something or test something, I can say, hey, I want to sign it to an individual site collection. And the screen looks fairly similar. Gosh, the first thing I do is select the site collection. We've tried to be consistent. You have two choices with the way you define my site collection. I can put in a URL, or, thankfully, I can search on the title of my site collection. It happens to be me. I have a my site. It's that easy to say I want to assign a policy to my site. I'm going to select that and say, fine. Oh, there you go. That's what happens when you select your my site twice. Oh, no, it doesn't. I'm sorry, I misread that. What that's telling me is it's saying, hey, there's already a policy assigned to the template that site collection is using, so we worked that out. This one's going to override it. So it's at least telling me what it's going to do. And then I can say, hey, here are my managed policies, and I'm going to give mine something different. I'm going to give mine a finance document policy because this is a demo and I can do whatever I like. But I'm going to do something different and I'm not going to make mine mandatory. And I save it and that's it. That's as easy as it is to assign a policy and create policies. But what does it look like from a site owner point of view? So I said if you don't make it mandatory, or even if you do, the site owners need to see what policies have been assigned to their site collection, and they need to be able to pick them if they're not mandatory. So here's a site collection I created earlier, because I'm allowed to do that. And unfortunately, this is where I do have to go into site settings. So go into site settings, and we've updated this with two things. So as a site collection administrator, buried in here, just to prove it really does exist, my document deletion policies. And at a site collection level, all I can do is see what policies have been assigned. Because at this point, I'm typically a different person. My compliance officer has done some stuff. Now I'm the site collection administrator. I don't know what they've done. They didn't talk to me this week. But I can come in here and I can see exactly what policies have been assigned to my site collection. I can see whether they've been default, and I can see the rules that are associated with that policy. But what if I want to pick something? What if I want to make that choice that says they've given me more than one policy, I want to pick one of those policies for my site? Well, then I go to site administration, because that would be the obvious place to go. I go into document deletion policies, and now I get a choice. So it tells me what's default, gives me a drop-down box. Make it a little bigger for those at the back of the room. So they're the policies that have been assigned to me, and because it wasn't mandatory, it says, hey, you've got an option to opt out. Don't delete anything in this site. So I can opt out because it was not policy, because it was not mandatory. And once I've picked a policy, because every site can have one and only one policy that it's picked at any one time. Once I've picked a policy, then I can pick the rules within that policy. So it's a way of grouping rules together. Can you just use a single policy? Sure. If you want to give people choice and you want to start to group things together, you put them in different policies. And here I can see the rules that happen to be associated with that policy. So that's what it looks like from a compliance officer point of view. That's what it looks like from a site owner's point of view. So, go back to presentation. Was the demo I just did? And let's talk a little bit more about how things work in the background. So, a couple of rules. I can only have one and one only active policy per site. Now, when I pick one of the delete rules, they act on all of the libraries in the site. But they only act on all of the document libraries. So we've made a deliberate choice here to say this isn't a blanket policy that applies to your blogs and your wikis and your custom lists and everything in your site. I talked about wanting to make this easy, wanting to make this a very broad brush policy, and I'm going to steal a quote from somebody, I can't find her in the room, somewhere, that says, this is what you'd call a good enough policy. Do you have to fix every retention problem for your OneDrive for Business, for your team sites? Not necessarily. For most organisations, this is a good enough policy because it's just going to apply to my documents. It's only going to do the delete and recycle, but man, it's going to do a lot of good for your organisation in reducing your risk and making sure those old documents really do go away. The delete rules do act on individual documents. So unlike site policies, which act on the entire site, when I add a policy that says delete 5 years after the created date, it will go to each and every document and only delete it 5 years after the created date of that particular document. And that's why this is so well suited to something like OneDrive for Business, because I'm not going to shut down the entire site because the person ended, left, whatever. Often the documents in the site or the lifetime of the employee will have a lot longer lifetime than the documents themselves. So this is about deleting individual documents, but it is about only deleting document libraries. And in terms of feedback about what you'd like to see in the feature, the fact that we're only acting on document libraries is actually an area we're looking for feedback. Is that enough for this solution? Do you need it to do other things? Do you need it to act on custom lists? So if you've got scenarios where you say, no, this is why I actually need to do this, feel free to put it in the comments. Feel free to send me a message on Yammer so we can understand why people may need to do that more broadly. But for the moment, that's what it's going to do, only act on document libraries. All right, but what about all that existing stuff? You've got content type policies out there. What happens? So for the sake of simplicity and to make sure nobody gets confused, if a document deletion policy is applied to a site, we ignore the content type policies. We don't delete them, but we ignore them, which means we don't act on them at all. We don't act on the list or library policies. Because if you've assigned one of these document deletion policies, that's the one we expect to run. And we'll put a little banner on the if you go into your site settings for content type policies, you'll see a little banner that says, hey, got document deletion policies here, these aren't going to actually work. However, site policies continue to work. Isn't that a little anomaly? Not really. When a site policy runs, it runs against an entire site. And so the first thing it does when it closes the site, it makes the site read-only. If document deletion policies are enforced for that site, when our timer job comes to delete those documents, we don't override things like read-only. If it's read-only, you can't delete it. If you can't delete it, we're not going to delete it. So we'll simply not delete things if it's closed. If the entire site disappears, well, we've got nothing to do. So then it disappears. So the site policies are really unaffected by this. We're going to honour whatever that site policy does. But because the content type policies and the list library policies act on documents themselves, we actually ignore them. Now, if you have a site where you have opted out of a policy, if you've opted out, you're not using the document deletion policies, so that means the content type policies can work again. Okay, is that clear? Okay. All right, talk a little bit more about the management. So I talked about it being accessed through the Compliance Center. That's mostly true. That's the best place to get to it from. However, it is a site collection. You can create it. You can only create one of them, though. So there is a single document deletion policy center per tenant. If you try and create another one, we will stop you. We will only use one. And that's why it's best to use it from the Compliance Center, because there is a direct link for it. It will create it the first time. It will give you a link to it the entire time. But you will see it in your list of site collections. And we do give you the ability, just like any other site collection, to delegate permissions to compliance officers. If you can't access that site collection, you can't manage document deletion policies. And so by doing it through the Compliance Center, you can delegate the permissions there. If you're doing it individually in SharePoint, just the site collection, if you have access to the site collection, you can manage the document deletion policies. It's pretty easy. All right, let's run through some examples. We've talked about a lot about how we do this. So I want to apply a single policy to a site collection template. So I create a single policy. I create a single default delete rule. I mark it as mandatory when I assign it to a site collection template. Easy. Default delete rule will apply to all libraries in all sites that use that template, and site owners can't opt out. That's the mandatory draconian one. It's like, yes, I'm going to create it, and you will use it. That's it. Not everybody's like that, though. Not that that's bad. That's actually well organized, but some people like to have some choice. So what if I create a selectable policy? So I create a single policy. It has more than one rule in it. One of them happens to be a default, because what I'd like to do is for something to actually happen when I apply this policy. And I associate that policy with a site collection template. So that default delete rule will be applied to all the libraries in the site. And then the site owners can choose, through that interface that I showed you in site settings, they can choose one of the alternate delete rules, or they can say, hey, I want to opt out. I don't want to do this. I want to opt out of the policy. So that's a way of doing it very simply, but giving your admin some choice. Or, because you love the feature so much, it does everything you want it to do, you can create multiple policies with multiple rules. You can assign them to a site collection. If there's a default rule, it'll get applied. Site owners can select a policy. The subsites, if you have subsites, will inherit the policy from the parent. And that happens whether you've got one policy or more policies. That's just the inheritance model is when you put it at the when you assign it to a site collection, it goes to all the sites. When a site picks its policy, it gets inherited all the way down the tree. If you have multiple levels of sites, it inherits until some site owner in the subsite breaks that inheritance, picks their own combination, and then it inherits from there down. So it's a very consistent model if you think about the Windows kind of rule model, those sort of things. It's the way things normally work. You set something at top, it inherits down. If you break inheritance in the middle, that's fine. It inherits from there down. Okay? And site owners can do their picking thing. So, recap of it. They're managed centrally through the Document Deletion Policy Center. The areas we're targeting is OneDrive for business and team sites. You assign them to templates or to a site collection where it overrides. I can set defaults, or the site administrator can say, hey, you can select from things. But only one policy and one rule are active in any one site at any given time. The delete rules only act as documents, and we ignore content type policies and list library policies. So that's our document deletion policies in SharePoint. But just in case you think, oh, that was a really short presentation, I can go now, there's more. So I did promise I'd show you what this looks like in the Exchange world. How many people are using Exchange and using retention policies in Exchange? Not many of you. Not surprising, this is a SharePoint conference. We have all the SharePoint people here. The reason I want to show you this quickly as a demo, and I'll switch to Owa, is one of the things we're doing for the, as we look to bring compliance together, is giving you the ability to apply these sort of policies across the data in your organization, not just SharePoint. One of the prerequisites of doing that is making sure that we have similar retention policy ideas across all of the products. We already have them in Exchange. We've just introduced them in SharePoint. And so in Exchange, here I am in my Owa mailbox, and my admin has assigned a policy to my mailbox. And here, you can see this is my empower my user idea. I right-click an item and it says, hey, these are the retention policy, the retention tags you can use, and you can pick one of them. And you can see it's very similar to the way that the site owners can pick things. The only difference is you can only have one policy per mailbox and they can't pick it. We've given a little more choice in SharePoint because site collections can have multiple owners, so it's more of a shared model. So that's what it looks like in Exchange. And you can see we've got a lot of symmetry between what you can do in Exchange and what you can do in SharePoint. And so what we'll be looking for going forward is how we can combine those so you can have the same deletion policies across all of your data. Okay. Very quick Exchange demo. Promise I won't talk about Exchange too much. But I did say there were two more compliance features that were related. So we talked a lot about delete. So I want to talk briefly about discover and about preserve. All right, who's seen the eDiscovery Center? How many people love the eDiscovery Center? Ooh, everybody that's seen it, hopefully. So the eDiscovery Center was something we introduced in the last version. It allows you to find documents across Exchange and SharePoint. But the thing I wanted to point out about eDiscovery is not the great legal side of it or the great search side of it, because all of those things are very good, but there's been lots of presentations on those. I want to point out the in-place hold feature of this. And so there is currently a hold feature in SharePoint, which has been there since SharePoint 2007. That's not what I'm talking about. That hold feature, you found documents, and they put them in hold, and it put a little lock on it, and the user can't delete them, and they can't edit them, and it's really quite painful. Great for records management, not so good for preservation in a world where we're trying to say, hey, if I have a compliance feature, I want to empower the user, not get in the way. That kind of doesn't do that. And it kind of gets managed centrally. This is all about preservation of data, and we call it in-place hold. What in-place hold does is when I set a site on hold, and I can add a query to it, by the way, to make it kind of very granular. I set a site on hold, and any time I delete either a document or anything else on that site, it's preserved in what we call the preservation hold library. The user doesn't know about it. As far as they're concerned, they just deleted something. It went away. If they edit it, and it's the first time they've edited it after I've put the hold on, we take a copy of the original and put that away in the preservation hold library, and they just keep going. They don't know. But the things in the preservation hold library are available to eDiscovery. So from a compliance officer point of view, you can still find those things. So it's gone from the user, but they're still discoverable. And that's what the in-place hold feature is. But we've extended that, and this is another new thing that's coming out in SharePoint Online. It'll be in the next version of SharePoint On-Prem as well, is the ability to put on hold policies. So rather than just hold documents from a legal point of view or hold the site for an infinite period of time until I turn it off, I want to hold information for a period of time. I'm going to hold the documents in the site for 5 years from their last modified date. And it means for 5 years since they were last modified, anytime you delete it, I'm going to keep a copy of it. I'm going to preserve a copy of it so I can find it later. So it's what we call time-based in-place hold. So I'm going to give you a quick look at that from a demo perspective, just so you've seen what it looks like. And that was the hold part of my compliance center. And so here I've got a link to say I want to manage my in-place holds for sites. And I say fine. I'm going to manage an in-place hold. And I can say, hey, here's my hold policy name. I can pick one or more sites. I can give it a filter. And one of the filters I can use, actually I'll show it on the eDiscovery one. But so I can use keyword filters here. I can also use the new classification filters that we're introducing to SharePoint Online. Gosh, wouldn't it be nice if I could say I want to hold all the documents that have credit card numbers in them? Interesting concept. But here in my time-based hold policy, I can say, hey, I can hold it relative to the created date, relative to the last modified date, or I can delete the hold. But I will show you those classification ones because that's a little bit new. Through my eDiscovery site, I can go to a case that I've caught up earlier. This is my eDiscovery site. I can say, hey, here's my sensitive data. Here are the classifications. So this is something they showed in the keynote where we're introducing to SharePoint Online, and it'll be there in the next version of SharePoint On-Prem, the ability to classify data based on 51 built-in classifications. So as part of the fast indexing pipeline, we will look for documents that have got credit card numbers in them, social security numbers in them, passport numbers, Australian tax file numbers, range of countries, a range of classifications. And it will add them to the fast index so we can then find them. You can also do things like find me all the documents that have more than 5 credit cards in them. Because one credit card may not be interesting to me. 5 means, hey, this is fairly sensitive because it's not just a single person's data. And you can use those same queries as part of your eDiscovery to say, I want to enable hold on documents that have those queries. So you can do that as part of the policies or part of the eDiscovery as well. So it's an interesting way to try and decide what documents you actually want to place on hold or which documents you want to preserve. And then finally, from a unification point of view, I talked about the Compliance Centre being this place you can get your policies for your individual workloads. What we're starting to do is have what we call unified policies. So here in the middle, I can create a policy. You'll notice I'm not in Exchange, I'm not in SharePoint. I'm just creating a hold policy for my data. So I give it a name. SBC policy 2, because I've done this before. Except I can't spell, apparently. It doesn't like policies of the same name. Here, I can look for any of those queries that I used before. So I can use classification queries, I can use keyword queries. This is still kind of being built. We'd like this query box to be a little bigger. So that's going to be our first ask when we get back. So before we deploy this, that query box will be as large as the other one. But I can put a query in here. I can say, hey, I want to select mailboxes and sites. Let me select which mailboxes I want. My standard demo is always to pick me and Quentin, who's my e-discovery king in the middle. Everybody knows we need to be on hold. And I can pick some sites. And I don't think I've got this one. My paste buffer, so let me add my favorite team site. And at that point, all I have to decide is how long I want to hold the data. I can hold it indefinitely. We've got some predefined sets of time where I can say, hey, this is how long you want to hold it for. Or, of course, I can do a custom one where I say, hey, I'm going to hold it for 1 month, for example. Turn on my policy. Didn't like that very much, did it? And I'm done. I've created an in-place hold policy that will hold all the data in those mailboxes and in that site for 1 month, and based on off the query, it'll only hold the things that match the query. All right? So that's where we're going. So this kind of unified hold policy is the first of the unified ones, but that's what we're starting to do, is look at unifying things across the data. So, the question is, will that be a feature available on-prem? Yes, in the next version. So the question was, will it recognize Exchange? So with the eDiscovery Center today, for example, you do need to have Exchange on-prem and SharePoint on-prem, and you do need to set it up. And in a similar way, the Compliance Center, don't know where it's going to be hosted yet, but wherever it's hosted on-premises, if you've got Exchange and SharePoint, it'll use both. If you've only got SharePoint, it'll just let you do it for SharePoint. If you've only got Exchange, it'll just let you do it for Exchange. Okay? So we talked about preservation. Oh, I haven't switched. Back to the presentation. That was the demo I just did. All right. So how does the in-place hold work? We'll go over that briefly. Content stays in Exchange or in SharePoint. Okay? So just because I created a policy across both doesn't mean I'm moving data anywhere. Just because I'm searching for data across both doesn't mean data moves anywhere. Data stays in place in Exchange or SharePoint. I can hold entire mailboxes or SharePoint sites, or I can apply a query, which means that I actually hold all the data, but then I go back afterwards and delete anything that didn't meet the query. The reason we don't do it at the time you place the hold is it takes a while to figure out, you know, to have a look at the document and see if it meets the query, and we don't want to interrupt that delete process. So we hold it all and then just clean out the things afterwards that don't meet the query. So it's a very efficient process. And there's no impact to users. When someone deletes a mail, it deletes. When they delete a document, it deletes. When they edit a document, they can edit it. But the right things are happening in the background, and they're happening in a secure way. So that's the flowchart about how it works. If an item's deleted, we check to see if the site's placed on in-place hold. If it is, then we put the current version in the preservation hold library, and we allow the delete to continue. If you update an item and the site's on hold, say yes. We check to see whether the last modification date is older than the preservation date. I said earlier that we only keep the first edit after you place the hold. In that way, we're not keeping every version of the document. If you have versioning turned on, the versions will continue to stay in place in the document library. At the time you delete the document, we will preserve the document and all its versions. All right, so we're not replacing the versioning technology that's already in SharePoint. But the ability of doing this in place is we can take advantage of the features that are in the product itself, so in the document library and the versioning, as well as when we preserve things, we can just preserve what we need. Because when you do an e-discovery search, you will find everything in the preservation hold library as well as everything that's in the current library. So you don't have to look in two different places. We will find all of it. So the preservation occurs synchronously. So we do it at the time that you delete or edit things. It gets placed in a secure library. And that's in the same site. It's the same SharePoint site as the document itself. We preserve lists and list items and feeds and documents and pages. And if you go back and have a look at Quentin's presentation, he did a demo of updating a page on a site, and you can see how we've preserved the entire integrity of the site, so you can see what the previous version was. We do support multiple holds. If I hold something that has a query of SPC in it, and I hold something that has a query of disclosure in it, well, then when I go and have a look to make sure what I should preserve, anything that contains either of those two words will be preserved. So we put all the hold queries together. We put, if you have a length of time, we put all the times together and the oldest one wins, or the longest period of time wins. So you can certainly have multiple holds placed on the same mailbox or on the same site, and that works quite well. The admins can't delete the hold data, nor can they delete the site that has data held, nor can they delete the site collection that has the site that has it held. So when you have a look at the site collections, a little lock next to it, and it'll say, I'm sorry, you can't delete this site collection. There's stuff that's actually on hold. So that's the only time we stop someone from doing something, and that's because we want to stop the admin from shooting themselves in the foot. Yes, there was a question.
Can you move it around to a different location in the farm?
Can you move the preservation library to a different location in the farm? Yes, you can move the site around. Can you? I'm looking at Quentin now. I said yes, then I'm like, actually, no, you're right. I'm thinking a move is actually potentially, if we detect it as a delete and a recreation, we will prevent it. If you send that question to me in Yammer, I'll actually get a definitive answer from our devs about what we actually do, because we may not let you move it because it's on hold. Yeah. So when an item moves from a site that's on hold to another site, a move is considered a delete and a creation somewhere else. So it's considered deleted from the site that it was in, and therefore we preserve a copy. When it goes to the other site, that site may or may not be on hold. If it's on hold, then we'll start to do the right things there. If it's not, at least we've kept a copy of the item. So item moves are okay, but I'll check on the moving a site around and have a look at what our behaviour is. So the admins can't delete the hold data or the site, and we do preserve all of the version history when the item is deleted, so all of that good versioning stuff is there. We're almost there. We're almost at the end. So we talked about compliance features. We talked about delete, discover, and preserve. The delete features that we have, the new document deletion policies, they're the ones that are focused on OneDrive for Business, team sites, all of the unstructured data. We have site policies for those sites that live for a particular period of time, like project sites. We have content type policy for the structured type data, where you're going to define what the information architecture looks like. And we have the record center, where you can do some very clever management of all those very business critical documents that you have. And then from a preservation point of view, we have e-discovery. The e-discovery center lets you do, you know, kind of these big searches and put things on hold for the duration of a legal case. We use the same technology to use time-based hold, but allows you to put policies in place. So for this particular site, I want it on hold. I want to preserve things for a period of time based on the age of the document itself. And then we talked about the unified in-place hold policy, which is our new thing that says, hey, I want to create these policies in one place across all of my data. And that's it. That's all I've got to say for today on delete, discovery, and preservations. So if anyone has any questions, We've got a bunch of questions. All right, because we've got so many, did you want to use... Well, we only have a microphone on this side. That's a bit hard. All right, so... All right, if the people on this side want to use this microphone, I'll repeat the questions from here so you don't have to move. So we'll start here.
Two questions.
Yes. All documents. So the question was, will the delete policies enact on only existing documents or on existing documents or only new documents? It will enact on all documents. When we go to see what should expire, we look at just what's in the library and what's just not new. The question was in exchange, can you put on hold a mailing list? So a mailing list is considered a distribution list. When you put a distribution list on hold, what we actually do is put all of the mailboxes that are in that distribution list at the time on hold. Okay? And because everybody's leaving the room, I do want to say thank you to everybody for staying. But I will be around to answer questions. Thank you. But if you do still have more questions, I'm still up here for a while, so come use a microphone or I can repeat it. I'm not worried.
About the in-place deletion rules, you say it states that the items will be moved to the recycle bin. Is that correct?
So for the delete rules,
You
can choose in the delete rule to either make it permanently delete or delete to the recycle bin. It depends on how the rule's been defined.
If it's moved to the recycle bin, how will it interact with the policies that are on the recycle bin, so the first and second level recycle bin policies?
Exactly the same way as when you move an item to the recycle bin manually.
So it means that the policies will override the in-place of the document deletion policies?
So if something's been placed in the recycle bin and then it gets moved to the second level recycle bin after a period of time, that process will continue to work. So if you wanted to definitively delete things at a period of time, make it permanently delete. If you want it to go to the recycle bin and then follow the normal recycle bin process, then you can say move it to the recycle bin.
All right, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Yes.
Hi. Do you have any plans to break inheritance for deletion policy on the folder or library level?
That is something that we are considering based on feedback. So if you have a strong need to want to do that, that is one of the I can't promise any future features. But that is one of the things we're considering. So if that is important to you, send it to me in Yammer. Okay. Tell me what you want to use it for, because that helps build our case.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, sorry. The question was, are we considering allowing you to do document deletion policies at a folder or library level? Because today it's enacted on the site, and that's the highest level that you can do it at. So that's what we'd like feedback on, is where do you want your users to be able to set their policies, at what level? So I'm interested in feedback on that. Yes.
Yeah, my question's pretty similar. So you were talking about a 5-year deletion policy, by example, and in our case, that's perfectly sane. However, we do have quite a few exceptions in various geographies where we need, say, 10 or 15.
Yep.
Can you have like a tiered model, or is it just one size fits all? That's a big struggle for us.
So the tiered model we have is if you have multiple potential rules, you can put them in different policies and assign them to different site collections, or you can give people the option to say, hey, you've got to pick one of the geographies, and this is geography I'm in, and therefore these are the rules. So that's why we have a grouping of a policy and a series of rules, and you can apply just one of those or a series of those policies to a site collection.
But it would be on the granularity of a site collection.
Each site can pick a policy that's been applied. So if you apply 3 policies to a site collection, 3 different sites in that site collection can pick 3 different policies.
Okay.
So that gives you the granularity you need.
Okay, that's good. Thank you.
Cool. Thank you. Was there a question over here? I want to make sure we're using both. No. All right. Yes.
Have to attend to both sides of the room.
Yes.
So for several organizations have destruction processes, right, that require an evaluation, approval, authorization of the final destruction or disposition of records. So I may have missed it, but is there a component that addresses that process, or would you have to utilize like custom workflow or something like that in order to implement something of that?
In order to do the destruction type workflows, you need to use the existing content type policies that you attach a workflow to. So okay. What we've deliberately done is these document deletion policies are meant to be very broad brush, very easy. We don't want to replicate what the very good content type policies do. So if you need that level of destruction workflow, then you need to write the workflow and attach it to a custom type policy.
Or custom okay. type and policy. And in terms of the roadmap, is there a plan to allow the administrator to specify whether they want to respect the content type policies or not? Because obviously there's got to be a lot of use cases for that, I would think.
So
where there's like structured and unstructured content that's contained within sites.
Yeah, so we're looking at that in two places. And are there any set plans? There are never set plans because everything can change. We're considering kind of two ways of looking at that. One is if we allow an opt-out at a library level, that would allow those content type policies to work. The other thing we're looking at is what the interaction model with content type policies would be and whether we make that an administrator choice. And so if you have a particular need to do one or the other or preference for one or the other, please give me feedback on that,
okay.
Because we're looking for how administrators would like to use that feature.
Okay, thank you.
Yes?
So one policy can have multiple deletion policy, or deletion rules.
Yes.
Can one policy have like three deletion rules, but one deletion rule apply to like different libraries, or is that where the content type policies come in?
So for the first release of this, whatever deletion rule you pick will apply to all libraries within the site. So you can't have a different deletion rule for the different libraries. One of the things that I just asked for feedback about is if people want to see that as different and apply that at a different level of granularity, so each library can have a different deletion rule, then put that in your comments, because that's helped building our plans for the future, shall we say, about how granular we would like to make these policies.
Okay. And for the hold policy,
yep.
So what happens after the document lives out its policy? It just gets deleted?
Actually, we just leave it to live naturally in its happy, natural habitat. Mm-hmm. So if I have a preservation policy for a document that says for 5 years you need to preserve it, once the document is older than 5 years, the preservation simply stops acting on it. So if you delete the document, it'll just be deleted. If you edit the document, it'll just be edited. We don't specifically do a delete on it, but we just stop preserving it after that period of time.
So if a user, if there's a hold on the site,
yep.
And a user deletes a document,
yes.
It lives, and we tell it lives for 5 years.
Yes.
It's preserved for 5 years,
yes.
But then we'd still have to go back in and delete it ourselves?
Or you can combine that with the document deletion policies, and say that it gets deleted after 5 years and the system will automatically delete it. So that's, you can combine the two of them to say, hey, it will automatically get deleted after that period of time. What we are looking at is, if that is a common scenario, which we've heard from a few people, we're considering whether a policy should allow you to say, I want to preserve it, and then delete it at the end. So again, if you've got feedback on whether that's an important thing that you'd like to do, that's something we're considering, and we're certainly interested in customer feedback about that.
What about reporting? Whenever, if we put the deletion rule on a site and it's for 5 years, is there something or a report that comes out that says all of these reports are going to be deleted in 5 years? Are you okay with it? Maybe it was got misclassified in the process or in the beginning. What is that? Do you have anything on that?
I love your questions. It's another thing that's on our list of things we're considering doing if people think it's important enough to do.
Okay.
So cool. So. Put them all down because it helps build my case for the things that customers really want rather than things that I think customers want.
But at this point, there is no reporting.
At this point, there's no reporting. So the first release of this won't have reporting.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Screen that you had the report.
Screen that I had the report. Oh, you can see what the delete policies are. That's simply the list of policies. The question was, can I see which actual documents in my library will be deleted at a certain period of time? Was the question.
Is there a solution, a third-party solution, to recommend dealing with sensitive information that way? Because we'd like to take advantage of it, but when it comes to sensitive information, we
So that's, we have a number of partners that do DLP. We love all of our partners equally. So I can't promise one over another. I can tell you what we're looking at building into the product. If you have a look at what we've done for data loss prevention, we've done that in Exchange. In SharePoint, we're starting off by doing the classifications. We don't have a roadmap for what will come next, but there are some partner solutions out there to doing it, and we have some solutions in Exchanges. Yes. And you know, and that's part of the partner ecosystem for you know SharePoint and all of our products is we don't do everything. So, thank you. Yes.
Hi, a couple of these are great additions, but what are you guys doing with Record Center? Like this is all for in-place records management, right? So, any additions coming for Record Center management as well? Because say for example, what if we find trigger and send a document to Record Center based on the document status like draft or final, or right, you know, any other advantages that you know, any other features that we are looking forward.
So we don't have anything to announce about specific new features that are coming to the Record Center. Again, if they're important to you, this is a great place to tell us why they're important to you so we can look at whether they're...
So the way Microsoft sees it, the future is in place hold because previously it was in place and then they rolled out Record Center. Now you're going back to in place. So
in place records is about declaring something in place just as a record. Whereas in-place hold is about preserving things in context. They're a little bit different. The Record Center will continue to exist. We have no plans to do anything with it. What we're looking at is how to best combine things like the in-place preservation and whether the Record Center needs to be part of that technology or continue to be separate. But we're certainly the records management stuff is there, it's robust, it's being used, and we're not taking it away anytime soon.
And so that'll continue
to be there.
All these things that you're talking about, like holding, you know, discovering and preserving, so these apply only to the collaboration or unstructured side?
Or do they apply to Record Center? They apply everywhere. So the preservation scenario does not discriminate about where it is. It applies everywhere, whether it's a record, whether it's not. It simply preserves data. So that applies everywhere. The document deletion policies will only apply where you assign them. So from a preservation point of view, they apply everywhere. From a deletion point of view, they only apply where you decide to apply them.
Awesome. Okay? Thank you.
You're welcome. Yes.
Right. I had a question about, you mentioned we demonstrated the exchange method of, and we use that where we have everything goes after 90 days unless you mark it as a record.
Okay.
And then it stays forever.
Yep.
So you didn't show what the user experience for the OneDrive would look like, but is it similar? Have you got a similar model where the user would see everything will be going?
So what I showed you from a site collection, site admin point of view is exactly what you see in OneDrive because you have exactly access to the same site settings because you're a site collection administrator.
Right.
What we don't have is any report that says these are the documents that are going to be deleted. The reason I didn't show you the experience in OneDrive is I just happened to pick a team site to do it, but that is the same experience that you would see.
So that's what I'd ask you to think about is obviously on OneDrive it is more like an Exchange mailbox. The scenario is far more similar.
Yep.
And if you could see, look, this is going to go in the next 7 days and then there's a countdown and then you actually could elect to keep it, then that would be more like Exchange then and the experience would be similar.
That is superb feedback and I'd love to see that in writing so I can share it with people.
Okay. My second one is I think you touched on it, but I may be misunderstood. If you put something on hold, like a site on hold, it's on hold from that moment and going backwards. Is it possible, or do you have anything at the moment where you can say it's the future stuff as well? Because we have our e-discovery team. They want to preserve from this point onwards.
Actually, no, it's from this point onwards.
It is.
Because we can't preserve things in the past. We can only intercept the delete and edit process from the time something's placed on hold going forward.
But what I mean is that the hold should apply to all new content.
Oh, so you're talking about the time-based hold and making it apply to all new content. Because when I just place something on hold, we kind of interrupt the edit and delete process. So you're talking about if I put it on hold for 5 years, it's from 5 years from today, not from the
scenario is that we have, for example, this is General Motors, so that we have some business process going on, mm-hmm. and the legal team know that there's some legal case yes. related to it.
Yes.
And what they're having to do at the moment is they place a hold, and then the next week they have to place another hold, and the next week they have to place another hold. They have to keep placing holds because it's all the future content they want to put on hold, as well as all the past. So until a certain point, and then they can release all the holds. So let's
talk about that scenario. I think we need to talk about how it actually works, because they shouldn't have to do it that way. It should, once a hold's been placed. They will get held.
Okay.
So it's not. It's, so when you say they're using the hold today, they're using the SharePoint.
Only POC'd the 2013 in place holds.
Yep.
That was our understanding. In fact, I'm pretty sure when we tested it, you're right for if you edit an existing document. If you add a new document, we didn't seem to find it
If you add a new document, and then delete it. Don't capture the edit.
That's the point.
We should capture the delete.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
The first time they edit it, the document is usually blank. What's the point of us capturing that? Right? So we will make sure we capture it on hold.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
If there's a version, if versioning is turned on,
okay.
that entire version history is
yeah.
captured, so you see all the changes of the versioning.
Right.
But it doesn't make sense for us to
know
someone edited the document, they didn't even change it.
No, so just something to click. So you're saying if you add a new document
yep.
to a site that's already on hold,
yes.
but obviously the hold date is passed now, the
yep.
original date
yes.
is put on hold,
yes.
then when you delete that document, it will get moved
yes,
into that hidden library.
Because
okay.
remember, yeah. remember the if you have a look at the spreadsheet,
yeah.
when you delete a document, we just say, is the site on hold? Preserve it. We don't do any calculation to say, when was the last modified date? That is only happens if you edit
okay.
it. So we won't capture any edits of those documents,
okay.
but we will capture the delete.
That's great. Okay,
okay.
Thanks. Yep, very good.
Cool. Okay.
And the inline hold is only for cloud at the moment?
No, in-place hold is available in SharePoint 2013 on-prem. The only thing that's not there is that time-based policy. But the ability to put it on hold indefinitely is absolutely there in the current version.
Perfect.
Okay.
Astrid, do
yes.
you some of this stuff coming on-prem in the next version? Are you talking about 2015? Or
2015.
Okay, cool.
Yep. A little bit too big to put in the service pack. All right, thank you. And I'll be around in the kiosk and that sort of stuff. And if you can turn off my mic, that'd be great.